Well, it's time for the preaching. Amen. And so it's good to have Brother Jones here again tonight. So Pastor Ronnie Jones come and preach for us this evening. And go as long as the Lord have you to go. And then we'll have a song and we'll have Brother Shane come and finish up for us tonight in a little bit. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be back in the Lord's house tonight. And I thank God for the good day today. Good to see the good number out on a Thursday night. And I appreciate the invitation to be here. Matthew chapter 12 in your Bibles. I'm going to try to hurry. That seems like the older I get, the harder it is to hurry. There's a lot to preach in this day. A lot to say. It's going to take my watch off, but I see the pastor has conveniently put a clock up here. Okay. All right, Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 33. Let's stand together and honor this reading of the Scripture. Verse number 33 of Matthew 12. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Father, we're thankful for this church, this dear pastor, his family. Pray your blessings upon them. Bless the good people here that make up this local assembly. And Lord, you've given us an opportunity to by your grace, have this meeting tonight. We pray your presence and power upon it. I need your help now. I need leadership and help me to preach in your power. Speak to hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit of my testimony, and I'm going to try to be brief. I feel like a lot of times people misunderstand my motives. I almost died and went to hell with a Romans Road profession of faith. That happened to me when I was 9 years old. I was raised in a Christian home, and this is, again, I'm emphasizing this is my testimony. This is me. And I was always taught, you know, what you tell little kids, you know, someday you'll feel Jesus knocking at your heart's door, and you need to go up in the church and get saved. And so I don't remember a lot of details. I remember this was probably like somewhere in the neighborhood of 1965. We were attending a church in Maryland. My dad was working for the National Security Agency, Fort Meade, Maryland. And this church, at this time, a lot of independent Baptist churches were getting on this build big mindset. And I'm not against that if God does it. And so, anyway, there was a lot of people coming to the church and things were happening. The Sunday school was big and a lot of my friends were going forward and I'm just putting this in terminology, the way a 9-year-old boy looked at it. They were doing this getting saved thing and going through the baptism and so they were trying to encourage me and telling me how easy it was and this, that, and the other. And so I remember, I believe it was on a Sunday morning, and, you know, I kind of got to thinking, you know, it doesn't look hard. You just kind of go up and tell the preacher you've come up there to get saved, and they pretty much do everything for you. So I thought this would be a check mark with mom and dad. And so I left my seat and I went up and I told the preacher, he put his arm around me. He said, Ronnie, what'd you come for? And I said, to get saved. You know, he patted me on the back and he spoke to the Sunday school superintendent and he took me aside and he said, Ronnie's come to get saved today. And so it was pretty much like I said, they did everything for me. They went through the scriptures there in Romans and kind of nodded their head up and down and back and forth to kind of prod me about how I should answer the questions. And then they said, you don't want to go to hell. And that wasn't hard to answer. No, I don't want to go to hell. And you'd like to get saved. And I said, yes, sir, I'd like to get saved. And that's what I come up here for. And so you pray this prayer. And he prayed a little bit and I just said what he said. And so he gave me a verse of assurance. He said, now you may doubt and the devil may try to tell you you're not saved, but he went through the whole nine yards. And so that was the age of nine. And then I was baptized, became a member of the church. I got to drink the grape juice out of the little glasses during communion. And I went through all that, you know, and so I began to grow. I was growing up physically. And so the fruition of my true standing as a sinner began to be manifested. I didn't know anything about being a sinner. I didn't understand anything. And I know when I relate a lot of times to my testimony, it makes people get really sobered because we get a mindset that salvation is a man thing, and it's not. It's a God thing. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Amen. Your genes that you were born with are corrupt, and you're a sinner, and you've got to be regenerated. You have to be regened, and it has to be divine genes. God has to birth you. He works that. And so as I went into my teen years, the fruition of sin, I didn't like church, I didn't like preaching, I didn't like my Bible. I loved everything the world had to offer. And I was headed south quickly. So anyway, long story short, by divine providence, and I didn't, my mom's home is from Boone, North Carolina, you don't have to go to Boone to get saved. I'm just telling you my story. So we made a transition. Dad retired. We went to Boone and there was a mountain preacher starting a church and we visited. Me and him were out one day and so anyway, we went into this little diner to get a hamburger. And there was a man in there, old man, and he hollered at my dad. It's a little country place. You went up and ordered. And so Mr. Green hollered at my dad, said, Jake, will y'all order, come over and sit at my table. So we sat down and he said, have you found a church since you've moved back? No, we're just visiting around. He said, well, I want you to be at the old Boone Tabernacle. And he called the man of God, my pastor, and called his name, said he's starting a church and he's a great preacher. So we went and I'd never been around anything like that. It was the first time I felt the power of God. In a service, and it troubled me, and we ended up joining that church, and I didn't know what to say, you know, when we joined the church, and mom and dad kind of coached me, said, you know what you did when you were nine, just tell them that. And so we went through that whole format and we sat under that preaching, but something was going on. I didn't like that atmosphere. They were worshiping God. Lives were changing. I heard something I'd never heard before. I heard about church members getting saved. I'd never heard of a church member getting saved. And so anyway, the power of God was moving in that church. My wife
got saved in a cottage prayer meeting in the mountains. That's her home. And she got right with God there, and she was playing the piano. And anyway, we ended up there. Long story short, through a process of the powerful preaching of the gospel, God stripped away all my pride. And it was difficult. I probably went through 2 or 3 years because that Sunday school superintendent told me, never let go of what you're doing here today. But God had to strip that away from me because He was showing me what I really was. And what I was I was a lost sinner that had made a profession of faith. And I was on my way to hell. Now, I'm not preaching this tonight to upset anybody's apple cart. I tell you, God's called me to preach. And I'm not worried about counting numbers. I'm not worried about carving notches in the back of my Bible. I'm not worried about that. What I'm concerned about is I want to see sinners get saved and go to heaven. Amen? That's what I want. And so I want to preach something tonight. I feel like God has directed me. I don't know how far I'm going to get in this because I could probably build 2 or 3 messages out of this. So I'm watching this clock, and I'm going to respect the time for Pastor Cloud. And so anyway, here in this chapter, anyway, I did get saved. Did I tell you that? I did get saved. When I got 19 years old, conviction got so strong on me that I realized for the first time I saw myself as God saw me. And that was a vile, wretched, lost sinner. I couldn't stand it any longer. I also saw Him for who He was, a loving Savior that had given His darling Son to take my sin and nailed it to a cross. And He took my place. And He provided a means of salvation for me. And so on that Sunday morning on March 16th, 1975, in a packed little mountain church, packed in the back pew, people wedged all around me. I couldn't take it anymore. I remember, Pastor, I just turned. I put my left arm up and I started moving forward and everybody was just trying to stagger out of my way. I meant to be born again that day. Amen. Amen. By the way, let me throw, nobody gets saved that doesn't want to be saved. Amen. So I came down that aisle, I fell on that altar, and I began to plead with God to save my soul. And that time, probably if all the fundamentalists had been standing around listening to my prayer, they would say, Ronnie, you're not saying the right words, but God in heaven heard my heart's cry. And He gave me peace and saved my soul. Amen. And that was the age of 19. And so anyway, what a blessed day. Amen. So here in our text, quickly, here's what's going on in our text. Jesus Christ is in His earthly ministry and He's performing miracles. And these Pharisees are upset with Him because multitudes are turning to Christ. And then prior to our text, Jesus Christ has cast a demon out of a man. And that's a great miracle. And then the Bible says that the Pharisees made an accusation, and it's found in verse 24. Here's what they said. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fella, talking about Jesus, doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And so for that reason, the Lord is giving us, and here's what I'm preaching to you about tonight. The Lord is giving us principles, the principles of bearing fruit. There are Bible principles that He gives us in the Scriptures about bearing fruit. Fruit will tell, listen to me tonight, fruit will tell your true genetics, what you're made up of. Amen? All right. So For this reason, down here in verse number 33, verse number 34, and verse number 35, he deals with three different things. In verse 33, he talks about a tree. In verse 34, he talks about a tongue. In verse number 35, he talks about a treasure. And he brings out a truth. Are y'all listening to me? He brings out a truth about the tree, the tongue, and a treasure. So I want to look at that tonight, and what he's doing and what he's trying to do and what he did do. He is exposing the hypocrisy of these Pharisees. So over in chapter 15, verse number 7, here's what he says. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now listen tonight. When you die and I die, what you've done to satisfy your parents or your husband or your wife or the pastor or the church really doesn't matter. What you need to be concerned about, and I need to be concerned about, is God satisfied with your standing with Him? Because there are multitudes tonight. You say, preacher, have you come here all the way from Tennessee to upset us about where we stand with God? Well, honestly, I don't really have the power to trouble your heart. It takes God to do that. Amen. But if you are troubled tonight as you face eternity, then you need to listen to that troubling, because that is God trying to work in your heart. Amen? All right? So, back in Matthew, listen to this tonight. Back in Matthew, here he's talking about Judgment Day. He says in verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. All right, let's pause right there just a minute. People who are not saved are not interested in the will of God. There's not many people that live their life governed with a desire to satisfy the will of God. There's not many people that do that tonight. If you went down through here, if we had some street preachers here tonight, and I wouldn't be against going myself, but if we were to load up and we all got, let's say we borrowed Brother Shane's pickup truck. And so he drove us down there, and it sets up high. And so we climbed up in that. We went to Walmart parking lot. And maybe we set up a time if we weren't having church tomorrow night. We did that on a Friday night. So there's a big crowd on Friday night trying to get groceries, you know. And so we just park it right in the middle of that crowd. And we get on there with a bullhorn. And we start advertising, folks, everybody gather around. We're going to preach the gospel, and it'll help you to understand whether you're ready to meet God or not. And, you know, you're not going to get a very big crowd. In fact, in probably just a few minutes, the blue lights are going to show up and they're going to haul you off. Now, I'm saying that to say, as far as the world's concerned, they're not interested in what we're doing tonight. Amen. And there's a lot of people that are gone through some kind of a religious format, but they don't have any want to or any love in their heart. They've done something to satisfy somebody else that they're okay. A lot of people, when a loved one dies, you know, and I've had this happen before, you say, they'll come up to you and say, preacher, I remember when we were kids, about 45 years ago or 50 years ago, we went to a Bible school, and old John here, he made a profession the same time I did, and I just want you to know he's okay, so when you preach his funeral and everything. Well, you can keep that to yourself, because I'm not taking old John's Bible school profession and getting up and preaching him into heaven. Amen. If he hadn't darkened the doors of the house of God, if he's had no interest in the Word of God or repenting or living for God, he probably woke up in hell.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Amen. So he's telling us, he says, in that day, on judgment day, he says, many, in verse number 22, many, chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, listen to this, have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think that is so sad, don't you? I mean, I would rather, listen to me tonight, I would rather address that issue here and now than to wait to when I draw my last breath and find out that I'm not settled with God.
That's right.
Because if you wait till then, you've waited too late.
Yes,
amen?
Amen?
Are y'all okay? Everybody with me? All right, so when you come down through here, here's what he's doing. And here's where I'm focusing. I'm focusing back in chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Why does he say that? Well, because of what they charged him with back in 24, verse 24. He said this, they said, this fella doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So here's what they've done. They said, this man has cast out a devil, which is a good work. That's a good work. But he's done it by an evil power. And that's, what they're saying is, you've done something good by a source of evil. And that doesn't work together. So here's what he says. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. So it would be better tonight to analyze the tree. And if the tree is corrupt, then call it what it is. It's corrupt. And if you come to that honesty, that this is a Bible conference, it's a jubilee. You still calling it a jubilee? So, but really it's just gathering in. We're worshiping God in song and singing and music, and that honors Christ. But the emphasis is on the preaching. If I get any help from the preaching and you get any help, we're going to have to be honest. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be honest. That's where I came to at the age of 19. I came to honesty. I said, who am I fooling? I'm not fooling anybody but myself.
Yeah.
And when that hit me, Brother Shane, I said, you know what? I'm not going to hell for anybody.
Right.
I'm going to get born again.
Amen.
And when I left my seat, I meant to get saved. When I came to that altar. And I didn't come with the irreverent. I came in the fear of God. But I didn't come down here to bargain with God or to see what else I could hold on to. I was ready to let go of all of it, but I didn't have the power to deliver myself from it. Amen. That's kind of that repentance. You have a change of mind. You said, I don't want this anymore. You turn your back on it.
Yeah.
You turn to the Savior. Amen.
Right.
But you don't have the power to pull yourself out of it. But He does.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He does. And so, here's what Jesus says. We just need to be honest. If you're a good tree, then you will, by the genetics that is in you, produce good fruit. Amen. We don't look at an apple tree and we don't say, hey, there's a tree that produces apples. I don't anyway. You know what I say? I say there's an apple tree. You know how I can determine the genetics of that tree? I've been around some men that know the bark and the leaves and all that stuff. But I determine I can call it an apple tree because the fruit that's hanging out on the limbs. Amen?
Right, yes, sir.
Amen. Isn't that simple? But it's so profound.
Yes, sir. Right.
And it's so necessary, not because I'm preaching it, but we need to understand it. Now, I want you to notice a few things. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with this tonight. And so, you know, if I had a hammer, I'd break that thing right there. All right. Anyway, the Bible tells us about the character in the fruit. The character in the fruit. The character in the fruit, okay? So he talks about the text, the character. For the tree, here's what he says in verse number 3. He says, and his fruit, he says, look at the last part of verse number 33. For the tree is known. The tree is known by his fruit. Now, I'm not trying to be silly tonight, but I've never gone out to an apple orchard, and if I could put human personality in an apple tree, if I could put a human personality in an apple tree, can you imagine going out to an apple orchard and there's trees and I guess about August, you know, they're getting pretty heavy. Those limbs are, they're hanging and that fruit is on there and it's making it weight. Can you imagine going out there and it having a human and it just saying, oh, this apple life is so miserable. It's just, you know, it's Sunday morning, it's Sunday night, it's Wednesday night. And the preacher rails us about these special meetings. And then he's grinding on us about how we dress and how we look and how we talk and it's just miserable being an apple tree. No. But if that apple tree had a human personality, they may be weighted down, but they are full of joy. And I'd walk up to it and I'd say, hey tree, how do you feel? And it would say, dummy, I feel like an apple tree. Well, aren't you miserable? No, that's why I'm here. And do you do this every year? Yeah, every year. Every year. And I said, well, how do you do this? Well, he says, I've got a root system that goes into an unseen place.
Right.
You can't see it, Ronnie.
Yeah.
It goes down into an unseen place and it taps into unseen sources.
Yeah.
And it pulls a sap up inside of me. And because of my makeup and my genetics, I always... Well, don't you get tired of apples when you like to put out some oranges or bananas or mangoes? Is that a fruit? They keep talking about this Mongolian restaurant and got all my M's tangled up. Mangoes... Wouldn't you like to? He said, I can't produce bananas. I said, you can't? He said, I can't do oranges. Well, why can't you have a variety? He said, I've just got the genetics to produce apples. So what is our fruit? What is our fruit? I'm glad you asked me that. All right. So what is our fruit? All right. Here, I'm going over here to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. We're going to find out a little bit about a fruit. I probably don't have time to deal with all of it tonight. But right here in Romans in chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Let's read a little bit of it. Romans 6 and verse number 19. Here's what he says. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now that you're saved, yield your members servants to what? Righteousness unto holiness. All right, hang with me now. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And let me pause right there. That's where a sinner comes to. He comes to a spirit. You see, when you get saved, you're appropriating yourself to the death of Christ. He died. You're dying in your will. You know, that's where a lot of sinners argue. They're shacked up with a woman. They don't want to get saved. Or they're drinking. But now we've got all these perverted churches that are preaching apostate messages.
Right.
And what they're saying is you can be saved and go to heaven and still stay shacked up and still drink and live any way you want to live. That's a lie out of hell. That's right. And so what he says, but now, verse 22, being made free from sin and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So our fruit now is righteousness and holiness. Now look at me just a minute. It has nothing to do with legalism. No. It has nothing to do with legalism. It has to do with our genetics.
Right.
Now we have a new birth. Now we are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a work of God. It's not a religious motion. It's not a religious format that you go through. People don't get saved up here. They get saved right here. Amen? It's a work of God. The Holy Ghost of God has moved in. He shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. He has witnessed with our spirit. So what if you could open your Bible? And I'm not reproving anything. But what if you could open your Bible and say, well, I did this. I did this one day. I did that. But wait. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know your heart. I don't know my heart. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost inside of me, witnessing to my spirit, yes, you are a child of God. And that is a peace that He puts in there, a confident hope that He puts in there. And it's settled. Amen?
Yeah.
I've been under some strong preaching. I've listened to some song. I remember my pastor. I started pastoring years ago, my first church up in the mountains of North Carolina. And I went to go hear my pastor preach. He preached on hell. Conviction was neck deep in that place. I was married, pastor of my first church, had, I guess, a couple of kids already. I sat on this side of the church. We were visiting the revival meeting, and the conviction was so deep, I could feel the conviction. I actually bowed my head, and I said, God, I've been through this. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm pastoring, but I want to know tonight if there's anything, any doubt whatsoever. I want you, and you know what he did? He just welled up inside of me, and he said, Ronnie, all is well. I didn't do that up here. He did that in my heart. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's a sobering thought tonight. It's a sobering thought. It's one that I could go on and on. I could look at the fruit of goodness and righteousness and truth in Ephesians 5. And I could look at Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what that is? That is literally the character of Christ. We are, can I put it like this? When we get saved, we are little Jesuses. Our fruit is the character of Jesus Christ. Amen? He's our Father. Amen?
Right.
And I could go to Hebrews 13 and 15. And we see the fruits of praise and the fruits of gratitude. And so I feel like I'm just started, but I think I'm going to close. I want to give you this tonight to challenge you. Paul said these words, and I think he said this to the Corinthian church because of all their immorality, all their bickering, all their divisions, all the sin that was in their life. So when he came to the end of his second letter to that church, he said this, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Can I say something to you tonight? Hell is full of fornicators and adulterers and God haters. But in hell tonight, there are men who used to stand behind pulpits. Men who used to be deacons. People that used to sing in the choir and teach Sunday school. Deceived. Deceived by religion. Deceived by false prophets, false preachers, deceived by Satan. He's in the business of damning souls. And out there on the streets tonight, out there on the streets, multitudes dying and going to hell. But he wants to get them in the church. You see, Brother Cloud, I think a lot of times what we're dealing with when we have so much rebellion, we're dealing with trying to pastor a church. Men that don't want to subject themselves to the authority of the man of God. People that are against the leadership of God. People that are rebelling against the truth of godliness and righteousness. And what we're dealing with is more than just a misunderstanding. They never had a change of nature.
Yes, sir.
They've never been born again. In the light of eternity, standing on a threshold of a dispensation that is coming to an end quickly. While we still have mercy and grace and the gospel. If I was you, I'd search your heart whether you've ever been born again. Let's stand together, Pastor.
Let's have the piano player come this evening. Invitation time. Tonight, maybe you need to be honest with yourself. Maybe you told yourself that you're a good tree, but all you have is corrupt fruit. Got to be honest with yourself. There's no desire to serve God, no desire to pray, no desire to read your Bible, no desire to come to church, no desire to witness, no desire to obey your parents, no desire to love your wife. There's no love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It might be tonight that you're a backslider. It might be you're a corrupt tree and you've never been born again. Tonight is the panel place. Can you say, I know for sure, for a Bible reason, this time of my life I received Christ as my Savior. I've been born again. Or tonight would you say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know. I've not been saved. Tonight is the Spirit of God moving in your heart. Pastor Jones here is not here tonight trying to talk you out of your salvation. But the Holy Spirit of God tonight is convicting. You need to come and get saved. Get saved. I'm a little bit leery tonight, a little bit weary of these young folks make a profession of faith at a young age, hit 19, 20 years old, and run out into the world and never come back to the house of God again. I think somehow I got saved. You might have got something, but you didn't get Jesus. Christian can backslide, no doubt about it. But you can't backslide and be happy about it. You can't backslide and never get spanked for it. You keep backsliding as a Christian, you'll be one of the most miserable Christians there is, and God will chasten you. You say, "Preacher, I can backslide, don't bother me a bit, and God's never laid a hand upon me, never chastened me." Then you don't belong to Him, because He chastens His children. Tonight you need to come. Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Robert's not sure. Tonight you come and see me. Get that settled. Tonight, if you have no desire to serve God, no desire to read your Bible, no desire to love Him and walk with Him, I'd ask God, "God, what's wrong with my heart? What's wrong with me?" Don't blame your parents. Don't blame the church. Don't blame it because somebody offended you. I've been offended before. I still love my wife. Right? Sure. Me being offended by somebody else doesn't affect my love for my wife. You can be offended tonight by the preacher or by his wife or a deacon or somebody in the church. That'll not affect your love for Christ. Tonight you need to come. Don't wait. I'm not sure, Pastor. Tonight you come. Father, tonight we come to you, Father, thank you for the preaching of your word. We do ask, Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit tonight. May He have free course in this place, work in the hearts of people. Lord, may we handle conviction correctly, the Spirit of God moving our life correctly. May we not bow up and get hard or be nonchalant and apathetic, Lord, and say, "Well, I've dealt with that before," or "I'm not going to deal with it tonight." But Lord, may we be tender, Lord, and yielded, Father, and obey the Spirit of God in our life. Father, thank you tonight for the preaching of your word. As we ask you, that you continue to bless, Lord, our service, we ask tonight in your name.